This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. Today is set to be a pivotal day in the ongoing work stoppage for teachers and service personnel across West Virginia. With the continued approach of county school officials remaining in question, the potential of legal action to be decided by the State Board of Education and legislative deadlines looming, teachers yet again plan to head to the Capitol in Charleston to rally lawmakers for better pay and health care benefits. All 55 counties have preemptively called off school for today. The preemptive closing of schools by counties functions the same way as a snow day or a closing for similar reasons. Whether or not that approach will continue on the part of county school boards is unknown. Leaders of teachers' unions and their members are calling for salary increases, a permanent fix to health care through the Public Employees Insurance Agency, and to a stop of to legislation that says hurts the state's ability to attract and retain high-quality educators. West Virginia ranked 48th in the nation for average teacher pay in 2017. State Superintendent of Schools Dr. Stephen Payne announced Saturday that he had met with county superintendents to discuss the continuation of the statewide work stoppage. The Ohio Valley steel and aluminum industries are closely watching what the Trump administration will do to imports. The Department of Commerce has suggested a massive 24% global tariff on steel and aluminum imports. Candidate Donald Trump promised to crack down on imports. Now it's unclear if President Trump will follow through. Becca Schimmel spoke to people in regional industries that could win or lose if tariffs take in effect.
Steel coils are loaded and prepared to become parts of products from auto transmissions to knitting needles to that little piece of steel you roll your thumb on in a lighter. This is Bill Stein Cold Rolled Steel in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and it just opened last year. The new company is among some signs of life in the Ohio Valley steel and aluminum industries after years of decline. For 20 years, Martin Dofka was a steel worker at Wheeling Pittsburgh Steel in West Virginia. A Trump supporter, Dofka says foreign companies have an unfair advantage because they don't have to comply with the regulations American companies do.
They don't play by the same rules. There's no way for the American companies to, I would call, competitively compete with them.
Dofka isn't against environmental or work safety regulations. He thinks they're important. He says tariffs would help make global trade more fair.
I just think they should have to do the same thing if we're buying their steel. If they don't want to comply with their regulations, we shouldn't buy it at all.
The import tariffs the White House is considering would create winners and losers among the Ohio Valley's metals manufacturers and could affect many other industries as well. Century Aluminum, the country's largest premium aluminum producer, cut production at its Hawesville, Kentucky facility by more than half in 2015. Executive Vice President Jesse Gary blames subsidized imports, which forced prices down. He says if the Commerce Department's recommendations are implemented, Century will be able to bring that smelter back to full capacity and bring back 350 jobs that pay an average of $90,000 a year.
The truth about the aluminum industry is the U.S. is actually one of the few aluminum-producing regions in the world that actually doesn't already have tariffs on primary aluminum.
Gary says Kentucky is already the largest producer of aluminum in the country, and it soon could be producing more. Brady Industries is building the first new aluminum mill in the U.S. in decades. Brady CEO Craig Bouchard supports the tariff recommendations.
If companies are facing tariffs as they import here and they want to continue to import here, as many of them do, they'll consider making capital expenditures here, creating jobs, and being part of our community.
Kentucky taxpayers also have a lot riding on Brady. The company got a $15 million investment from state government and another $12 million in tax incentives. Bouchard says some countries should be excluded from the tariff if they are good trading partners. And as for concerns that the tariffs could trigger a trade war,
never shy of fighting a war with a good cause, and always want to be a winner.
But economist Brian Strau warns that other regional industries could suffer. Strau works at Western Kentucky University and is also a Republican candidate for the Kentucky House of Representatives. He notes that the European Union has said it will place tariffs on bourbon from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's state to maximize the political pain. Aerospace industries with major exporting companies in Kentucky and Ohio are concerned tariffs will damage relations with client countries. And then there's the auto industry, a major employer in the region, which Strauss says needs imported steel.
It'll result in a net loss of U.S. jobs, which is not, I think, what President Trump is wanting to happen, but it's the law of unintended consequences.
But not everyone in the auto industry agrees.
And I think we need to level the playing field.
That's Jack Bowers, vice president of the United Auto Workers Local in Bowling Green, Kentucky. He has firsthand experience with auto plants closing. He put in 15 years at a General Motors plant in Michigan before it closed. He says it's a hard thing to watch.
When you work with somebody, they're part of your family. They become part of it because you spend a lot of time with them and you hate seeing them go out the door. There's a chance they won't ever be called back.
Bauer says he's not a fan of President Trump, but he supports imposing tariffs on steel and aluminum. Like Wheeling steelworker Martin Dofka, Bowers wants foreign companies to meet similar labor and environmental standards.
I mean, you want to be competitive, but there's only one Earth.
Bowers thinks America's consuming power will help it ride out a trade war and drive more domestic production, something most economists doubt. Those on both sides of the tariff debate will be watching eagerly for a final decision from the White House, which is due by mid-April. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. It's 7:49. The National Weather Service is continuing a flood warning for the Ohio River at Point Pleasant, where minor flooding is occurring and could continue, although no rain is expected in the forecast until Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with afternoon sunshine, highs in the 40s and 50s, mostly clear and cold tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. A new radio documentary that explores the history of school integration in Fayette County airs later today on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It explores, in the small coal mining town of Mount Hope, how integration was peaceful compared with other areas around the state and the country. But there was some racism that divided the community, and although the football team integrated quite quickly, the cheerleaders had a different experience. Producer Michael Klein brings us the voices of several African-American cheerleaders, including Kathleen Scott.
I was a cheerleader until the integration of the schools. We were told they had selected the cheerleaders before the school term started, and I was not a cheerleader at all when it became Mount Hope High School. That was something very dear and important to me, and I was very hurt. We were not included. The football players and the basketball players, oh, they were included because Du Bois High School, they were always state champions and everything. They were able to participate.
Nathan Shelton.
It took a while for certain things to take place. Like they allowed blacks to play football, but you couldn't be a cheerleader or a majorette. There was no black cheerleaders or majorettes until my class, in fact, which is 8 years later. Two of the ladies in my class became cheerleaders. They had not been allowed. Certain things you weren't allowed to do. A friend of mine who went to Du Bois, she was telling me the story, man, and was crying. Because she said she wanted to be a cheerleader so bad, and they integrated the year that she went to high school. That was the year they integrated. And her heart was set on being a cheerleader, and they wouldn't let her because she was black. You know, certain things had to come later.
The most of the team was black.
Charles McKinney.
Even the track team, the basketball team. And you would wonder, well, why wasn't there a black majorette? Or why there wasn't a black cheerleader? And you wonder that. You know, some of us really didn't want to toss gasoline on a partially burning fire. But then you had others that was very outspoken, and they saw a need. And one of the guys, his name is Willie Ben Pritchett. He was one of the committee persons that went to the principal to find out why we didn't have a black cheerleader. And they went and they addressed this issue with the principal.
Willie Ben Pritchett.
I mean, guys in the football team, you know, we were not happy that we didn't have a black cheerleader. I mean, we were not happy, you know, about that. They was having a little congregation here in front of the principal's office, which was Mr. Danner. He was the principal at the time. To talk to him about having a black cheerleader. He says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to let five of y'all come into my office, but I guarantee you the five that walk in here would not graduate. And that's the way most things went down. They put the fear in you. So to stop you from standing up for yourself, they put fear in you. But then sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to take a stand. Well, I step forward, okay? I got a 3.68 GPA, you know. I'm on the football team, I'm on the track team and everything. When I'm in the glee club, stop me from graduating. So five of us stepped forward and went into his office. And his first statement was, you people are like dogs. You pat them on the head and they'll lick you in the mouth every time. And that didn't go over with a couple of people in that group. Nobody swung any punches, but we had to hold one of them back to stop him from throwing punches. Got to discuss, and he said, well, we're going to talk to the band director at the time. They were going to get together and with the faculty, and they were going to try to find a black cheerleader. That was in 64, my senior year. You can't fight every battle. You got to pick your battles. Sometimes you know when wrong is wrong, and you say, okay, this one I got to fight.
Snapshot of the future. See it so clear. People still struggling because they live in fear. Let's take a thought.
And out of that meeting, we got our first black cheerleader. Her name was Sandra Williams.
Mr. Danner called me into the office and asked me if I wanted to be a cheerleader. And it sort of took me back because I'm saying, why me? You know, like that. Because I was sure there was somebody else that could probably do a better job. That was my feeling at the time. Usually with cheerleading, you have to try out for it. And I didn't have to try out. I just became a cheerleader. In hindsight, I said, I wonder why I was chosen. Was it because of the color of my skin and they wouldn't be able to tell if I was either white or black? But they could still say that they had a black cheerleader at the time.
That was Sandra Williams, the first African-American cheerleader at Mount Hope High School, featured in a new radio documentary called Game Changer, produced by Michael and Carrie Klein. You can hear the full story about Mount Hope this afternoon at 2 and again at 8 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up to date with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus come from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell.